6 hours Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Steve Norman reporting. Hours before a legal deadline for the release of all documents relating to U.S. President John F. Kennedy's assassination in 1963, President Trump ordered that hundreds of the files will remain secret, at least temporarily. A day after tweeting that the long-anticipated release of the JFK file documents were coming, Mr. Trump wrote that he had no choice but to accept redactions recommending by the government departments in the interest of national security. Controversy and conspiracy theories about who was responsible for the assassination sprung up within days of the assassination in 63. President Trump has declared a nationwide public health emergency to address an opioid crisis he says the U.S. government is already combating on all fronts. He spoke at the White House to a number of people, including recovering addicts and family members of victims.
All of these actions are important parts of my administration's larger effort to confront the drug addiction crisis in America and confront it head on, straight on, strong. We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
About 175 people each day died of opioid overdoses last year in the United States. U.S. has blacklisted, seven North Korean officials as well as three government entities, saying they engaged in human rights abuses that are among the worst in the world. Latest U.S. condemnation of the regime of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un comes as President Trump nears the start of a five-nation Asia trip in early November, including visits to South Korea, China, and Japan, where he'll talk about North Korea's defiance of U.N. dictates. This is VOA News. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says despite the bleak picture in Syria, he sees positive signs toward a political resolution to the crisis. He says this militant Islamic State group is on the brink of defeat and the United States is continuing to de-escalate violence in Syria. Lisa Schlein reporting from Geneva, where Tillerson spoke after meeting with the U.N. Special Envoy for Syria, Staffan de Mistura.
He says the United States wants to see Syria emerge from this war as a whole and unified country, a country in which President Bashar al-Assad has no role to play.
I've said this many times as well, that we do not believe there is a future for the Assad regime, the Assad family. I think I've said it on a number of occasions. The reign of the Assad family is coming to an end, and the only issue is how should that be brought about? And we believe it can be brought about and will be brought about.
Tillerson says he supports the so-called Geneva process, which seeks a peaceful, negotiated end to the Syrian war. He notes the process sets out specific procedures for holding elections, but has no prerequisite that Assad goes before the process starts. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And an international investigative panel has determined the government in Syria was responsible for a deadly sarin gas attack. On April the 4th, the attack on a rebel-held town killed and sickened scores of civilians, led to a U.S. airstrike 3 days later on the Syrian military base that Washington said the regime used to launch the poison gas attack. Catalan President Carles Puigdemont has ruled out the possibility of holding a regional snap election and has asked Parliament to decide how to move forward as the secession crisis from Spain continues. Spain's Senate is expected to approve a direct rule for Catalonia during a session today. Regional scholar Carlos Uxo, Monash University, tells VOA all of this could have been avoided.
In the last week, the Catalan government or the president of the Catalan government received an invitation to speak in the Senate, but even the setting when he could speak became an issue, which means that basically neither of both sides are really ready to engage in a real dialogue.
Political crisis has played out for several weeks with both sides threatening to take action. The other sees as escalating the situation. In early October, referendum voters in Catalonia said they wanted to secede from Spain, but Puigdemont has been reluctant to declare a secession. Get more news at our website. You can find us at voanews.com and on the VOA mobile app.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voices of America. I'm James Boateng in Washington. Today is Friday, October 27th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Kenyans await results of a controversial presidential election rerun that some say might further divide the country.
The truth of the matter is that half of the country never participated in this election. Even in the strongholds of the president, the outcome was about 30-35%, which in my view, I don't think is good enough to meet the constitutional threshold.
James Mwamu is the former chairman of the East African Law Society. Zambia's main opposition leader will today receive the African Freedom Award, but some say for what? And Liberian football legend Senator George Weah gets a big endorsement in his bid for the presidency.
I am therefore honored today to announce to the Liberian people and the world at large my full and unflinching support and collaboration to the Senator George Manuel Weah for the presidency of the Republic of Liberia.
But Senator Prince Johnson of Liberia, South Sudan's economic situation forces some men to do what normally is regarded by society as women's jobs. And a new report sees a dramatic drop in missiles deaths. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley's sports and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Kenyans are awaiting results from Thursday's controversial presidential election rerun that some say might further divide the country and bring into question the legitimacy of the winner. Incumbent President Uhuru Kenyatta is expected to win the vote. Main opposition leader and former Prime Minister Raila Odinga pulled out of the race, saying it would not be credible. Kenya's Supreme Court had ordered a rerun of the presidential vote after annulling the August 8 election, saying it failed to meet constitutional requirements. Meanwhile, opposition protesters clashed on Thursday with police, leaving at least three people dead. James Mwamu, former chair of the East African Law Society, tells viewers Peter Clotty that it would be difficult for anyone to say that Thursday's poll was transparent, free, and credible.
The truth of the matter is that half of the country never participated in this election. Even in the strongholds of the president, the outcome was about 30-35%, which in my view, I don't think is good enough to meet the constitutional threshold. The constitution is very clear that there must be voting in 290 constituencies, and that has not happened today. Therefore, these elections do not meet the constitutional threshold. And secondly, the integrity of the election that has gone today has come despite many, many challenges. You know, the opposition boycotted, a number of people stayed away from voting. There was a lot of violence that occurred. There was a lot of police brutality that occurred. And therefore, it invalidated the election. So I think even going on, this election probably is going to be challenged in the Supreme Court again.
NASA's opposition leader Raila Odinga has said that the NASA coalition would turn into a movement. People are fearing there could be sporadic violence once the outcome of the election is announced from the ground. What are people telling you?
What Honorable Raila said, I think he just said that they are turning into resistance, a non-violent resistance movement. Having some things like economic boycott, civil disobedience, but I think that what the message he was sending out was a peaceful resistance. So I didn't hear him talking about violence, but as it is, I do not think that we should read much into what he said. I think he's simply saying that because what he said is that they're going to have a constituent assembly to determine the integrity of the electoral process in Kenya going forward. That is all that he said.
People are expressing concern that there could be violence if the chairman of the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission, Wafula Chibukati, announces the winner of this election that has been disputed and that the opposition leader refused to participate despite his name being on the ballot papers.
No, I don't think there's going to be any violence because, you see, once the people have refused to participate, they didn't recognize the message was that they did not recognize either the election itself or the outcome. So I doubt whether that would then lead to violence. In any event, if you have only one candidate running, it is obvious who the winner is going to be. So I doubt whether that fear is really founded. I don't think there's going to be any violence. Violence will only be precipitated if there's police brutality. And that is something that perhaps I need to talk about, because there has been a lot of police force that is being used against innocent people. And I think that must be condemned in the strongest terms possible. Right now, I know there are some parts in Western Kenya where they're walking from house to house, shooting children, shooting women and men. And that, I think, should be stopped. So that even at the end of the day, when people refuse to participate in the election, they must not be forced using force.
Wafula Chibukati says he can't guarantee a credible presidential rerun. And the president has also signed a law which makes it difficult for the Supreme Court to annul this election. So where does this leave Kenyans?
You know, first of all, one commissioner called Akombe resigned, saying that the Electoral Commission, as it is, was under the control of one political party. That is the Jubilee political party. And Wafula Chebukati also said there's a need to have these elections, the two protagonists talk, so that the commission can hold a credible election. But I think 2 days ago there was an about time, and he said, oh, now we are ready to conduct the election. You therefore have a problem, because you see, if you find the chairman of the commission saying that, look, we have a problem, we can't guarantee you a credible election, then there is definitely a problem.
James Mwamu is a former chairman of the East African Law Society. He spoke with VOA's Peter Clotty from Kenya's capital, Nairobi. In Liberia, Senator Prince Johnson of the Movement for Democracy and Reconstruction Party on Thursday announced his endorsement of football legend and Senator George Weah's candidacy in Liberia's November 7th presidential rerun election. Johnson, who in the past two elections had called himself a kingmaker because of the popularity of his Nimba County, said he was endorsing Weah in fulfillment of the 2016 Ganta Declaration, which called for an opposition victory in Liberia's 2017 election over the ruling Unity Party.
My fellow Liberians, judging from the result of the just-ended first round of our presidential election, two parties made it to the runoff. They are the Unity Party, the Congress for Democratic Coalition. Analyzing the result further, the majority of the Liberian people voted for change. The message, therefore, was loud, clear, and unavoidable. Pursuant to the historic meeting of opposition political parties I called in Ganta in September of 2016, which gave birth to the Ganta Declaration, we committed ourselves to ensuring an opposition victory for change in 2017 presidential election. After holding a broad-based consultation with stakeholders and partisans from across the country and our stronghold in Nimba County, including executives of the MDR and with their approval and consent, I have resolved to remain committed to the spirit and intent of the Ganta Declaration, of which was the convener, host, and architect-in-chief. Consistent with this belief, I am therefore honored today to announce to the Liberian people and the world at large that with abiding faith in God and love for my country, my full and unflinching support and collaboration to the Congress for Democratic Coalition and the candidacy of Senator George Okon Weah. As President of the Republic of Liberia in the forthcoming presidential runoff election scheduled for November 7, 2017, I therefore call on all members, supporters, sympathizers, and well-wishers of the MDR and all signatories of the Ganta Declaration and opposition political party leaders to join me in endorsing and supporting Senator George Manuel Weah for the presidency of the Republic of Liberia.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barton in Washington. Today's Friday, October 27. Daybreak Africa time is 14 minutes past the hour. In the 2005 and 2011 presidential elections, Prince Johnson's endorsement of then-candidate Ellen Johnson Sirleaf played a large role in Sirleaf's election and re-election. Rodney Sie is managing editor of Front Page Africa, Liberia's leading online and print news magazine. He says Johnson has shown to be unreliable recently in keeping his own pronouncements. Notwithstanding, Sie says Prince Johnson's endorsement for now puts the momentum in Weah's corner ahead of the November 7th runoff election. Sie joins us now from Monrovia. Good morning, Rodney.
Good morning, James.
Thank you for joining us again. What do you think are the implications of Senator Prince Johnson's endorsement of Senator George Weah in the November 7th runoff election?
Well, it depends on who you talk to, because the last two elections, his support kind of influenced the results of the runoff. So I think it puts him in a strong position. But also, as you know, Prince Johnson is very unpredictable and unstable at times. And also the likelihood that this could go both ways. You know, the Nimba people, as I speak to you today, there was some dissent within the Nimba caucus. There were some Nimbaians who were saying that they were not consulted by Prince Johnson before he made the endorsement. So some of them are protesting Mr. Johnson's endorsement of Weah also.
Rodney, do you have any information in terms of whether the remaining leading opposition candidates like Charles Bramskin and Alexander Cummings, whether they are leaning toward endorsing either Weah or Vice President Boakai?
As you know, there have been several complaints currently before the National Election Commission. So I think those pending legal issues are delaying their endorsement of either Weah or Boakai. There's a strong possibility that both Bramskin and Cummings could go the Boakai's way because of the large number of intellect and mixed grassroots supporters behind them. Or one of them could go to Weah. It remains to be seen which one will do that.
Senator Prince Johnson, in his endorsement, made reference to the so-called Ganta Declaration and called on the other opposition candidates to get behind Weah. How binding do you think is this so-called Ganta Declaration?
Well, the Ganta Declaration was held last September in Ganta, Nimba County, which is the stronghold of Prince Johnson. And it ended in kind of disarray. It didn't really have a conclusion, so there was nothing definite. So I'm not sure whether the other opposition parties will follow what he's saying. But I think now, because of the Prince Johnson support for Weah, the momentum slightly may be in Weah's favor.
Rodney, thank you very much again, as usual, for joining us on Daybreak Africa.
Thank you very much, James.
Rodney Sears, Managing Editor of Front Page Africa, Liberia's leading online and print news magazine. He was speaking with us from the capital, Monrovia. Zambia's main opposition leader, Hakainde Hichilema, will today, Friday, receive the African Freedom Award from the German human rights group Frederick Naumann Foundation. The award will be presented in South Africa. It is given to individuals who have made an extraordinary contribution to the cause of freedom in Africa. Hichilema spent more than 4 months in jail on treason charges when he failed to give way to the motorcade of President Edgar Lungu. Some Zambians say their country is peaceful and that the foundation is sowing seeds of discord by giving Hichilema the award. But Charles Kakoman is spokesman for Hichilema's United Party for National Development.
That is the greatest honor that the Germans can honor somebody in Africa. We are highly delighted to receive that honor be given to our president.
He's been given this honor for his contribution to freedom in Africa. Some people may disagree with you. They will say that, in fact, there's freedom in Zambia. And what this award is doing is to bring about division instead.
Well, the Frederick Herbert Foundation is operating in many of these African countries, and they are seeing the violations of human rights in many of these African countries. And they've seen how a UPND president in Zambia, Hakainde Hichilema, has fought to try to restore these freedoms at the extent where he had to be even arrested in order to restore these freedoms. And so the foundation has seen that this is one of the greatest sacrifices an African has made to achieve freedom in Africa. And therefore, it deserves it.
Mr. Hichilema has said that he is going to dedicate the award to Zambian citizens who, he said, committed prayers and stood with him and the five others during their 127 days of incarceration. Is there a monetary presentation for this award?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, I've not been told of any monetary award. It's just a prestigious award. I mean, if you are a freedom fighter, you don't need any monetary award to be motivated to do what you are doing. It is just nature on his part that he is fighting for freedoms and human rights in Africa. I think that is enough motivation for him. he doesn't need any monetary award.
Mr. Hichilema says that at the presentation, which is today, Friday, he is going to present a paper on the state of freedom in Zambia. Again, I must say that we've spoken a lot of times with the Zambian government that there is a lot of freedom in Zambia. And they say that what Mr. Hichilema did when he did not give way to the presidential motorcade for which he was charged is, in fact, in violation of the rule of law.
Well, as we are speaking now, Mr. Hichilema and his party have not been allowed to hold a rally or a meeting since the 2016 presidential general election in Zambia. They have not fired the police as required by the law to hold these rallies. And to date, none of them, more than 20 or so notifications, the police have been rejected. We don't know what freedoms of assembly, freedom of association the government is talking about.
Charles Kakoma is a spokesman for Zambia's main opposition, United Party for National Development. He was speaking with me from the capital, Lusaka. South Sudan's economic crisis is compelling men in some communities to abandon deeply entrenched labor divisions between genders and take on jobs normally considered women's work so that they can earn money to feed their families. Mayan David Mayar has more for VOA from Juba.
36-year-old Abraham Lual juices avocados, bananas, and passion fruit in a blender before his customers arrive. He then places the fruit mixture in a refrigerator to keep it nice and cold before he pours it into chilled glasses once his customers arrive. Some people in the community see what Lual is doing as a taboo because they think smart young men should not prefer food, wash dishes, or serve customers' drinks. They believe that sort of work is the domain of women and women only. Lual says he is not bothered by what people think as long as he makes money.
Culture will not provide you with what you want. Like here in South Sudan, many guys are after culture. They tuck in, they work smart, but you see them suffering. I myself decide I better do like other countries, Ugandan, Kenyan, wherever a gentleman can do any job which is necessary for him to do so that he earn money and survive for the life.
In the past, cultural beliefs dictated black and white labor divisions between men and women, which would often keep young people in poverty. But South Sudan's economic crisis has forced a change in attitude among some people like Lual, who have decided to ignore cultural norms in order to improve their lives. Before opening his juice shop in February, Lual served in the South Sudan Army. As a soldier, his monthly salary of 900 South Sudanese pounds could not cover all of his family expenses. Now, he earns enough to take care of his family's needs. On an average day, after deducting his expenses, Lual serves about 1,000 South Sudanese pounds, the equivalent of $5.50, something that used to take him a month to serve. Abiem Akuk Beg owns a hand-washing laundry shop, commonly known as Dobi, work that is typically seen as women's work. Speaking in Dinka, Beg says customers often appear confused when they first walk in.
Many people come here and ask for the woman working here, but we tell them there is no woman here. We tell them that it is us men who are doing the laundry here. So actually, there is nothing bad about work that you do with your own hands. What is shameful is stealing people things.
Beg has been operating his laundry business for the past 2 years. He says he earns about 2,000 South Sudanese pounds, or $11 a day. Before opening the Dromat in 2015, he was unemployed and often struggled to survive, which he says forced him to think outside the box. Beg says since running his business, he has been able to take care of his family's needs, including paying for his children's school fees. For VOA News, I am Manyang David Mayar in Juba.
25 minutes past the hour time now for Daybreak Africa Sports. Here is Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. Good Friday morning to you, Samson.
Good Friday morning to you, James. We begin with the CAF Champions League, where record 8-time winners Al Ahly and Wydad Casablanca will renew their rivalry in the final of the first leg of the 2017 CAF Champions League this Saturday at the Borg Arab Stadium in Alexandria. Apart from the pride of conquering Africa, a CAF record $2.5 million first prize is up for grabs, plus a place in December's FIFA Club World Cup. Al Ahly, who have set their sight on an unmatched 9th CAF Champions League crown, beat Etoile du Sahel 7-2 on aggregate to seal their place in an 11th final. As for Wydad, the Moroccans followed a goalless draw in Algiers with a 3-1 win over USM Alger in Casablanca as they take an aim at a second CAF Champions League crown, having clinched the 1992 showpiece. The South African Football Association, SAFA, has announced the Bafana Bafana squad set to face Senegal in back-to-back 2018 Soccer World Cup qualifiers next month. Coach Stott Baxter's men will do battle in the crucial two remaining qualifiers, with his side needing maximum points in order to qualify for Russia 2018. Coach Stott Baxter is confident of victory in the game against Senegal.
The selection of Andile Jali and Bongani Zulu in this squad, when you all know that they are suspended for the first game, and in Bongani's case, he will have a DC hearing with FIFA on the 2nd.
Staying with football news, Mali will look to claim the bronze medals at the Under-17 World Cup when they face Brazil in the third-place playoff match on Saturday. The Young Eagles suffered a 3-1 loss at the hands of Spain in their semi-final match on Wednesday. Spain will now meet England in the final at the same venue later on Saturday. Elsewhere in Ghana, the Ghana FA Cup Finals is set to attract fans of the country's two biggest football clubs, Hearts of Oak and Ashanti Kotoko, to Tamale on Sunday for the epic final of the FA Cup. Ashanti Kotoko coach Steve Pollock has vowed to win the 2017 FA Cup against Swan rivals Hearts of Oak.
I don't feel pressure. I don't regard being a football coach as pressure. This is nice, you know, talking about being in a cup final, first time in 17 years.
And on to East Africa, where the Kenyan Premier League on Thursday postponed the round of 31 matches of the Premier League that has been scheduled for this weekend owing to the volatile political situation in the country as a result of the repeat presidential poll that has caused tension in the country. The matches have been pushed to November 14th, while a round of 32 fixtures set for November 1 will go on as planned. In volleyball news, Algeria's national volleyball team has qualified for the semifinals of the African Men's Volleyball Championship after its 3-0 win over DR Congo in the quarterfinal match on Thursday. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a good weekend. We'll see you again on Monday morning. Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. Kenyans are awaiting results from Thursday's controversial presidential election rerun that some say might further divide the country and bring into question the legitimacy of the winner. Incumbent President Uhuru Kenyatta is expected to win. And in Liberia, Senator Prince Johnson of the Movement for Democracy and Reconstruction Party on Thursday announced his endorsement of football legend and Senator George Weah's candidacy in Liberia's November 7th presidential runoff election. That's it for this Friday, October 27 edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I'm James Barty, wishing you in Africa a very good weekend.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them.
At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.